KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Coming up, I'm Brian Calvert. We're now able to confirm a case of that new COVID strain, as well as worries it's already spreading.
I'm Corwin Hake. Biased Seattle cop is fired. Question is, will he stay fired?
It's 8 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A scare in Washington, the city on edge before the inauguration of Joe Biden. A short time ago this morning, they had to stop the inaugural rehearsal because there was a fire at a homeless encampment several blocks away. It has been put out, no injuries. The process of thoroughly vetting the backgrounds of all of the National Guard troops patrolling the streets of Washington for the inauguration has begun. ABC's Alex Stone is there with more.
With 25,000 National Guard members here, some of them armed, and after the events 2 weeks ago that included members of the military and law enforcement, now an exhaustive effort is underway to check the backgrounds of each guardsman who is here to make sure there is not a threat from the inside. Secretary of the Army Ryan McCarthy.
Been vetting them through the FBI. Getting support from the Federal Bureau of Investigation to continue the vetting of every man and woman that come here.
Alex Stone, ABC News, Washington.
On his first day in office, Joe Biden is expected to sign executive actions, including undoing the so-called Muslim ban, rejoining the Paris Climate Accord, and making masks mandatory in all federal lands. ABC's Cecilia Vega has more on President Trump's send-off.
They'll be surrounded by uniformed military at Joint Base Andrews. There will be a military band and a red carpet flanked by troops as he boards Air Force One for the last time. There may even be an Air Force fighter jet flyover just as he heads to his new home, Mar-a-Lago.
Distribution of the COVID vaccine has been going a lot slower than doctors had hoped, and people are having difficulty registering for the shots. ABC's Kelly Hartung also says the government has no backup supply.
With no federal stockpile, Pfizer and Moderna both shipping out about 2 million doses per week. The government pushing for at least 50 million to be distributed by the end of January. But there's a lot of ground to make up. So far, only about 31 million have gone out.
Some of those major vaccine centers that have been set up say they're running out. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The KOMO Morning News.
It's 8:02 right now, and thanks for starting Monday morning along with us here on the KOMO Morning News. It's 45 degrees in Seattle right now.
With Greg Herschel, I'm Amanda Factor. Here are the top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center.
The State Health Department reported some new COVID numbers yesterday after not being able to on Saturday because of a computer problem. The latest count features more than 1,800 new cases. The agency warns numbers won't be reported again today because it's a holiday.
Well, the COVID-19 variant that's closed much of the UK is now here in the Pacific Northwest.
KOMO's Brian Calvert tells us we have at least one confirmed case.
The announcement was made over the weekend. The COVID variant is here with a confirmed case in Oregon. This strain of COVID spreads much faster. A staff member at the University of Portland is said to be the first known victim, although Dr. Carlos Crespo says many more here in our region could have this.
And if you're getting a test, you might get a false negative, because this new variant is not updated in the testing that we're doing now.
Some test labs are now updating to detect this variant. Others have not done so, meaning someone could have this but received a false negative and is back out there in public spreading it unknowingly. As for the man in Oregon with our first confirmed case,
as far as where he may have actually contracted it, that is still being looked at.
Michael Llewellyn is a spokesperson for the U of P and says so far the man has not experienced anything severe. Brian Calvert, KOMO News.
An emergency room nurse in Seattle is accusing a Seattle police officer of refusing to wear a mask inside her hospital when asked to do so. The director of Seattle's Office of Police Accountability says the matter is being investigated and findings will be issued on an expedited timeline. The OPA has not named the officer nor the hospital where the alleged incident happened.
Governor Jay Inslee says all eight regions of our state will remain in phase one of his Healthy Washington reopening plan at least for another week. But Snohomish County Executive Dave Summer says if things get better in his county, he may ask to be excluded from the region that includes King and Pierce counties. But Katie Curtis with the Snohomish Health District says it makes sense to have the counties grouped together.
A lot of our hospital systems are kind of spanning across those county borders anyways.
A spokesperson for Snohomish County says based on the current projections, that county will probably run out of doses of the coronavirus vaccine before the end of next week.
Coming up on the KOMO Morning News.
Automatically restoring voting rights for convicted felons once they're out of custody. I'm Carlene Johnson, the new legislation in Olympia.
KOMO News Time 8:04. traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the 4s from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. And here's Tammy Bennett.
Thanks, Greg. Finally, this wreck in Lacey is off of the roadway. So westbound 510 between Pacific and Marvin Road is open and moving at the speed limit. So now I turn to South Center. We've got a wreck blocking the right lane of southbound 405 at South Center Boulevard and a little bit of a backup starting to stack up behind it. We've got one on the shoulder southbound 405 approaching Northeast 4th and Bellevue. And in Seattle, traffic lights not working on 522 between Northeast 110th and 120th. Please keep your eyes open and treat those intersections as four-way stops. Your next report at 8:14. Tammy Bennett for Como News.
Our report this time is sponsored by Beacon Plumbing, Heating, and Electrical. Call Beacon today and save $50 on all drain cleaning and sewer repair. Just call 1-800-FREAKIN and stop freaking. Call Beacon.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Looking forward to a quieter week of weather as we wake up to morning fog and the typical afternoon clouds. That's going to be the case again on Tuesday. The exception being maybe a few sprinkles tomorrow night across the Northwest Interior. Drying out for midweek Wednesday. Better potential for showers on Thursday. And then conditions trend much colder heading into the weekend. We're talking daytime highs potentially stuck in the 30s for a few spots. And as moisture begins to move into this colder air Sunday, that can go on to produce a rain-snow mix, even in parts of the lowlands for the end of the weekend. While no significant snows in the forecast, maybe an inch or two of slush heading into early next week, certainly bears some watching. In the Como Weather Center, meteorologist Kristen Clark.
East of the mountains, it's a beautiful sunny and very cold morning. It's 23 degrees in Omak right now. Further east, foggy in Pullman and 30 degrees there. And here in western Washington, just mostly cloudy for the time being. It's 42 degrees.
Como News Time 8:06. In Olympia over the weekend, hundreds of National Guard members were on duty to protect the Capitol campus in the event of violent protests. Here's what the State Patrol said.
We're making the statement, you can't do illegal things here. But we're also making the statement, our system works. So let's let it work. Let's have our fights inside that building with words, not around the building with clubs and fists and guns.
Chris Loftus with the State Patrol said initial intel suggested potential armed rallies converging on the Capitol at noon. No threat ever materialized.
There's no situation that we're aware of in any of the 50 capitals that is any different from what you're seeing here.
But authorities statewide aren't letting their guard down, and this heightened police presence leading up to Inauguration Day extends beyond the Capitol campus. In Olympia, we're told they've added extra officers through the weekend. And on Saturday in Seattle, police took no chances bringing out the bomb squad when a 34-year-old man told authorities he had a bomb in his truck parked next to the FBI headquarters.
That's Como's Patrick Quinn.
There was no bomb, according to Seattle Police Chief Adrian Diaz. This was outside the FBI building at 3rd and Spring.
Right now, we just know that there's a heightened level of tension. And so we're trying to make sure that we're, you know, diligent in every little thing to make sure that there's no further threats to the city.
And Chief Diaz says that there are no known specific threats to Seattle or the state ahead of Wednesday's presidential inauguration.
A Seattle police officer was fired after he reached back into the 70s to find a derogatory nickname for a black suspect.
More from Como's Corwin Hake.
The Seattle Times reports the unnamed Seattle officer was fired after he referred to the man as Kunta Kinte. That's the name of an enslaved black African in the Alex Haley novel and 1977 TV miniseries Roots. A summary from the Seattle Office of Professional Accountability says the officer used the Roots name plus a profanity after the incident during a discussion with fellow officers. Now the question is, will he stay fired? Last week, Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan complained before a legislative committee. Fired officers are often reinstated on appeal.
It is very unsettling to community and to officers if the decisions of a sheriff in chief can be overturned by an arbitrator without good cause.
Proposed state legislation aims to tighten the union-mandated arbitration process. Corwin Hake, Como News.
A bill being considered in the state legislature would automatically restore a person's right to vote after they're released from incarceration.
That story from Como's Carlene Johnson.
If it passes, the Seattle Times reports an estimated 10,000 people in our state would immediately regain their right to vote. It was introduced at a public hearing last week and would replace the current process of having to apply and not getting to vote until all legal fees are paid off. It's sponsored by Democratic Representative Tara Simmons, a former felon who served time for drug-related issues.
I'm honored to be here today as a state representative, an honor that is directly tied
to my ability to successfully reenter the community after incarceration and become a voter again.
Now, Republican Representative Jenny Graham questioned whether someone convicted of taking another person's life should have the privilege to vote.
Do you really think that that is fair?
Simmons, the prime sponsor, cited research that indicates restoring civil rights has public safety benefits and reduces recidivism. Carlene Johnson, Como News.
Somebody stole an Oregon woman's SUV and came back to yell at her. Como's Kelly Koopmans explains.
The thief took the Honda Pilot outside of a meat market in Beaverton over the weekend in the back seat, a four-year-old boy. The thief then drove back to the market, told the woman to remove her son, then scolded her, even threatening to call the police on her. The thief then took off again with the SUV. The mom says she made a terrible mistake.
This is just a perfect example of just letting our guards down and how terribly.
Her four-year-old son was not hurt during all this. Police are still searching for the thief and the woman stolen SUV.
Como News Time 8:10. Now to the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk and Tom Hutler.
Well, it may have been the final game in the remarkable career of Drew Brees. The New Orleans Saints were ousted from the playoffs yesterday by Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, 30-20. In the NFC divisional playoff game, Brees threw three interceptions among four Saints turnovers. Was it his last game?
I'll answer this question one time, and that is that I'm going to give myself an opportunity to think about the season, think about a lot of things, just like I did last year, and make a decision.
Tampa Bay advances to the NFC Championship game in Green Bay. In the AFC, Cleveland fell behind, battled back, and then came up short in a 22-17 loss to the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs, whose star quarterback Patrick Mahomes left the game for a concussion evaluation. They say he's doing well. His backup, Chad Henne, 35 years old, came in to help salt that game away. And Rams defensive coordinator Brandon Staley is going to become the next head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. We check sports at 10 to 40 past each hour. Tom Hutler, Como News.
Thank you, Tom. Como News Time, 8:11. As more doses of the COVID vaccines become available, some people are saying they're not going to get it. And that raises a question.
Medical reporter Liz Bonus explains.
Employment attorneys now say it is one of the top questions they are getting asked. If I don't choose to get the vaccine, can my employer make it mandatory to return to work?
Well, it's very complicated. The short answer is that yes, employers may require employees to get vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccine.
For healthcare workers, perhaps nursing home workers or others, those who don't get the COVID-19 vaccine may be a real threat or danger to those around them. That's the basis employment attorney Faith Whitaker says your workplace can use to require the COVID-19 vaccine.
But there needs to be some exceptions for medical or religion.
That said, however, if most people step up, this might never be mandatory. However, an early survey so far, many states report what Ohio has found.
And what we've found is, for example, the nursing homes, we're seeing only about 40% of the people who work in nursing homes are taking the vaccine.
But just because the vaccine can be mandatory, right now business advisors, even for medical personnel, say that doesn't mean it should. You see, the FDA has only given emergency use authorization for the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. So these leaders admit,
when there's clear evidence and months of data collection to demonstrate that this is a safe vaccine, in future periods of time, and maybe even in future years, it may become mandatory. It depends.
In the meantime, those advising employers say education and perhaps a few other steps might be a better way to get more people to get the COVID-19 vaccine.
For employers, they need to have thorough assistance from counsel and advice from counsel to understand their risks and then also see whether or not it makes sense operationally to require that. And maybe if they don't require it, they could provide incentives for encouraging it.
Now, this is likely going to be an ongoing legal debate. The hope, of course, is that enough of us will step up to get it that are comfortable so we get herd immunity. That means about 70% of us would have to be vaccinated, which does mean we still have a ways to go. I'm medical reporter Liz Bonus.
Como News Time 8:14. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the 4s. And from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center, here's Tammy Bennett.
Well, now, if you don't count the landslide and the flooding closures, we're down to just two incidents. The traffic light's not working on 522, both directions between 110th and 120th Streets, and an accident in the South Center area, southbound on 405, right at I-5, blocking the right lane. Everything else moving at the speed limit. Your next report, 824. Tammy Bennett for Como News.
Our report this time is sponsored by Ole Ortho. The world-class physicians at Ole Ortho ask the South Sound, why take a long, stressful drive when Ole Ortho is right in your own backyard? Ole Ortho has your back. Your knee, your hip, your shoulder, you get it. OleOrtho.com, your life in motion.
Well, we're rain-free for the next couple of days. Our forecast today and for tomorrow calls for partly sunny skies by afternoon and a high temperature around 50 degrees. Some communities woke up with some fog this morning that is slowly burning off. We're looking for overnight lows in the mid to upper 30s. Moving ahead to Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies, no mention of rain. Thursday, a weak system brings a slight chance of some showers.
In downtown Seattle, it's cloudy and 43 right now.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
It's 8:15. It's the Como Morning News for your Monday, 18th day of January. Frank Lenzi's at the editor's desk. And with Greg Herschel, I'm Matt Defector.
Dr. Anthony Fauci says President-elect Joe Biden's goal of 100 million vaccines in the first 100 days of his administration is achievable. Dr. Fauci also added some more good news while on Meet the Press. He says we're close to seeing data on vaccines from Johnson & Johnson, along with AstraZeneca, for new vaccines from them.
President-elect Biden and his wife, Dr. Jill Biden, thanked their grassroots supporters in a pre-taped video during the We the People concert last night for their work during the campaign.
Even though our inauguration traditions look a little different this year, and we're all still together, though. United across all of America.
ABC News White House correspondent Karen Travers is with us again this morning. Karen, where does the Biden administration start?
Yeah, they have a long list that Biden had laid out on the campaign trail, a big list of priorities that he said he wanted to get to on day one. And this is what they're going to try and do. So starting with asking the Department of Education to extend the existing pause on student loan payments and interest for millions of Americans. Biden's going to move to rejoin the Paris Climate Accord, which, of course, President Trump pulled the U.S. out of. He's going to move through executive action to end the Muslim ban, the president's restriction on immigration to the U.S. from some Muslim majority countries. We also expect that Biden will extend the nationwide restrictions on evictions and foreclosures. So this is a very, very aggressive to-do list for day one, but they say this is what he's going to do through executive actions that they say will be legal and within the constitutional role for the president. They also have a big plan for that legislative push on the $1.9 trillion COVID relief proposal that he laid out last week. He can't just do that himself. He needs Congress, of course, but they're going to push very hard. They want that to be the big signature legislative achievement within the first couple of months, for sure.
Meanwhile, President Trump could face a Senate impeachment trial shortly after the inauguration. How is that shaping up?
Yeah, I mean, this could be starting in earnest as early as Thursday. It's just kind of crazy to think how quickly this could be moving forward on day one, the first full day in office for Joe Biden. The big question now is who's going to defend the president? Because we don't know yet who his legal team will be. If you'd asked me this 48 hours ago, I would have said Rudy Giuliani is on the team, because that's what he told us. And he was at the White House over the weekend. But late last night, he told ABC he will not be on the legal team because of his role in that rally before the attack at the Capitol. He says that makes him a witness. Remember, Giuliani spoke to that crowd. He really revved up that fired up crowd before the president spoke. And one of the things Giuliani said that day that got a lot of attention and has since then is he said, let's have a trial by combat related to the election challenges. He told us last night that because he is a witness to what happens, he can't take part in a defense in court or in the Senate chamber. So who will lawyers be? We just don't know yet.
Has there been any talk of moving the inauguration festivities indoors to a safer place in the midst of all this tension in Washington?
There's talk about it. The Biden team over the weekend on the Sunday political shows were saying they're flexible, that they have every expectation and hope that the swearing-in will take place on the west front of the Capitol, as tradition holds. But I think they're giving themselves flexibility, and they could always move it inside if they felt that that was safer and they felt that that was necessary. But the latest word from the Biden team was that they are expecting and hoping to hold it outside.
We haven't seen much of President Trump recently. Mm-mm. Do we expect to see him over the next couple of days?
not today, probably not tomorrow, but we will see him when he leaves the White House on Wednesday one final time. And there will be an event, a ceremony at Joint Base Andrews outside of Washington. The president's supporters, family, friends will be there to send him off on that last trip on Air Force One. We expect there'll be a military send-off, similar to what we saw with President Obama, with service members lining a red carpet as he boards the plane. He will be in Florida before noon, before Joe Biden officially takes over.
All right, Karen, nice to speak with you again this morning. ABC News White House correspondent Karen Travers.
More than 50 years after the death of Martin Luther King Jr., his niece, Alveda King, is continuing his message of love and unity. Alveda quoted one of King's iconic speeches, saying his words are still timely given the events of the past 2 weeks.
As a matter of fact, my famous uncle, who we are celebrating this weekend, said, "I've decided to stick with love because hate is too difficult a burden to bear." My granddaddy was like that. That's our legacy.
As tensions flare in the days leading up to the inauguration, Alveda King is encouraging Americans to listen to one another and find common ground.
Less than 24 hours after his return to Russia, a judge has ordered Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny to be held in police custody for 30 days. The ruling today came after Navalny faced a surprise hearing in a makeshift court inside the police station of a Moscow airport. The political activist returned to Germany yesterday, where he had spent 5 months recovering from nerve agent poisoning that he blames on the Kremlin.
Como News Time 8:20. Time to get to our Propel Insurance Money update. Hanford contractor Mission Support Alliance plans to lay off 30 workers as its Department of Energy contract expires. More from Como's Frank Lindsay.
The layoffs are set for Thursday, the last full business day before the expiring contract held by Mission Support Alliance transitions to a new 10-year contract awarded to Hanford Mission Integration Solutions. Many employees at Hanford work 10-hour shifts Monday through Thursdays. Typically, most employees transition to new contractors at Hanford, with the new contractor bringing in new management. Mission Support Alliance employed just over 1,900 workers at the end of September. The layoff announcement was posted online by the Washington Employment Security Department. Frank Lindsay, Como News.
A top economic official for the incoming Biden administration says there's no time to waste on providing more relief to the American people. Brian Deese says bold action is needed and now's the time to do it. He's promoting the recovery plan that the incoming president outlined last week, saying there's bipartisan support for things like increased stimulus checks. And he's also advocating to put money toward transit systems and increasing the minimum wage.
Como News Time 8:22. We'll get to traffic and weather next here on the Como Morning News.